I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Where I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now over to 1 Corinthians, please, in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Verse number 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me, also as of one born out of due time. Verse 15, Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And we know that God will bless the reading of his word. Now, if you are familiar with the gospel message, you will probably know that there are two sides to the gospel. If you have not heard the gospel before, let me explain. On one side, we have the truth of man's ruin. And that is that we have to bring to you from the Bible God's great diagnosis of the problem of humanity. And it is that we are all sinners. But on the other side, thank God, the good news of the gospel is this, that though we are all sinners, there was one Jesus Christ who came to die for our sins upon a cross. And that he did. And not only died, but was buried, and the third day rose from the dead. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we can have our sins forgiven and a home in heaven. That is, in simple terms, the gospel message. I'm thankful that there are the two sides. You know, were it just that I was to tell you this evening that you're all sinners, well, it would be a mighty depressing meeting in the field. Everyone would go away with just depression and long faces. But no, I can tell you, dear friend, that the second side of the gospel gives us hope, every single person. And it is to tell you, though I don't know everyone in the tent, but I can look into every face, every eye, and I can tell you that God loves you, and that Christ, he died for you, and that he rose again, that he's coming back. Now, I think you would agree with me, if you're really honest with yourself and honest with God, that that is good news. That's what the gospel means. The book of Romans tells us that it's the glad tidings of good things. You know, you go on to the news any night and really you come away depressed. All the things that are happening in the world, we've heard of one news item. These many people that have perished in a plane. But mind you, there was a good news story in the middle of it. There was one man who survived. he was saved. He'll have some story to tell. Oh, there's many tonight perishing in their sins. But praise God, I believe in this world today, there are people who have been saved from their sins. And maybe you would be surprised if you knew the hundreds today that have accepted Christ as their Saviour. There's some of them here in the tent that have been saved, not today, but in recent times. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, you know. And yet, unless you understand your danger and where you are, you'll never realise the wonder of a Saviour. You know, if you were to talk to that man who has survived that Air India crash, what will have made him so grateful for his life and for being spared is just a sense of the danger that he was in. And so many people perished, and yet he survived. And so I want to draw your attention just simply two thoughts this evening. On one hand, a warning from Christ. Ye shall die in your sins, and where I go, ye cannot come. And then I want to think of a work that was finished by Christ. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Now let us come to the warning for a moment, because you will understand that Jesus Christ, he not only spoke the truth, but he says, I am the truth. And when he says something once, we ought to listen. When he says it a second time, well, I think we should really be on high alert. But mind you, when the Lord Jesus says something three times, I think you ought to give it at least 5 minutes of your thoughts. Now, why did he say that? Let's get down to the text. The Lord Jesus was speaking to people, religious people. And he is warning them that if they continue the way they're going to die, yes. But not just that you're going to die, but you're going to die in your sins. Now, we will all die if the Lord be not come. And we will die in various ways. We have heard today how some people tragically died in a plane. Some in an accident. Some through disease. Through accident. But everybody, says the Bible, it's appointed unto men once to die. But the Lord Jesus is not saying where you will die is the problem. He's not even laying emphasis on when you will die, but he is emphasizing the condition in which you die. He says you'll die in your sins. You see, this is the condition of the sinner. In your sins. And the Bible uses that word in to describe the fact that we are so linked to our sins because of our link to a man called Adam. We read, as in Adam all die. Through one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And therefore, that is our condition. Whether we like to admit it or not is another thing, but the Bible says, all are under sin. Romans chapter 3. So, there the picture is to be under sin's dominion. All are under sin. But here it's all are in their sins. In other words, sin has a grip. Sin has a hold. Sin has the person, as it were, surrounded, by which they can't get out. In your sins. Now, the Lord Jesus is saying, that's not the way that you want to die. Because if you die in your sins, where I am going, you cannot come. You see the seriousness of it? We've no doubt as to where he was going. He says, I go my way. What was the way in which he was going? He was going to heaven, his Father's house. He would go by the way of the cross, as we'll see in a moment. But no doubt tonight, I am thankful that there is a man in heaven Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, from his own warning, heaven's door is closed if you die in your sins. Now it is. Don't let anybody tell you anything else, because three times the Lord Jesus tells us. But I want also to notice that he deals with a specific sin. He says, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now please listen to this. I want to speak to you about what I'm going to call the silent killer. It's not the heart attack or the stroke. It's the sin of unbelief. And for millions in Britain today, that is what ultimately is going to lead to their damnation in hell, is the sin of unbelief. Oh, it doesn't get the news headlines. There's no violence. You can be a nice person, the nicest person in Bicester, but the sin of unbelief is what's going to take you down to a lost eternity. I want you to think for a moment of the root of unbelief. Where does unbelief have its roots? Do you know where it has its roots? Right back in the beginning, with Satan himself. The very first thing that he did as he came to the woman was to deceive her into believing something other than God's word. And if you're not saved tonight, then that is sure evidence that you are under the control of unbelief. Because if you really realize tonight the danger you are in of dying in your sins, you would come to Christ and put your faith in him. And you would go from being an unbeliever to a believer. You see, that's where it's rooted. John says, the devil sinneth from the beginning. He did. And for this reason was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of Satan. And Satan is still working at it. And he's luring, and he's attracting, and he's influencing men and women to just maintain a state of unbelief. That's its root. I want to think of its ruin. Unbelief is a terrible thing. Because what it does is this. It takes away a person's confidence in the Word of God, so that they will believe many other things other than what God says. Now that's a person who is absolutely ruined. Because my friend, could I say to you kindly, if you can never come to the point in your life where you can rely upon this book as the living word of God, you will perish. Without doubt. You can question it, you can come round it, you can put doubt over it, you can criticize it, you can take whatever title you want upon yourself as an expert in the Word of God, but my friend, if you won't accept that the book in my hand is the inspired Word of God, you'll perish. Why? Because you're an unbeliever. You say, I believe what it says. Why are you not saved then? You see, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. You could never know that Jesus Christ is your Savior apart from the word of God. So Christ is the Savior. The word of God is the guarantee of salvation. And says Romans 10 and verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? Because you have accepted that what God says about you is true. What God says about his Son is true. I'm a sinner, but Christ died for my sins, and I'm going to trust Jesus Christ, and the word of God tells me I'll be saved. See, unbelief, it ruins a person. Because it causes them to question
God. Let me tell you, my friend, God is true. It's impossible for God to lie. And I say this kindly, but for you to go on in your sins and not to come and believe the gospel is paramount to calling God a liar. Oh, you say, I would never do that. But by your continuation in sins, that's what you're doing. Because remember this, when we preach the gospel, it's not that we're presenting an alternative religion. It's not that we're somehow saying to you, listen, consider this and go away and think about it and then come back, and if you think it's a good thing for you, then sure, you can become a Christian. Now, that's not the gospel. Listen, I'm going to quote you another verse. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. In other words, it's a command. God is commanding you to turn from your sins. And another verse to put alongside it is this. It's a question. What shall the end be of all them who obey not the gospel? In other words, when it comes to the judgment, and you're found there without Christ in your sins, it will be because you didn't obey the gospel. God has given us his word, and he commands us to repent. He doesn't ask us to dissect his word. He doesn't ask us to try and... he just asks us simply, like a child, to accept what he says to be true. Do you accept that God's word is true? Because if you don't, Jesus said, the great sin of unbelief will end in this way, that you will die in your sins. And when I come to the book of Revelation, it gives us a little look into the lake of fire, and here's what it says, and I read it to you, because I want you to realize tonight that we're preaching the word of God. It's a wonderful chapter, Revelation 21. It describes a new heaven and a new earth, where God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That's what God wants for you. But if you die in your sins, listen to verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Did you notice what's top of the list? Fearful and unbelieving. Oh, what ruin unbelief brings. To go through your life as an unbeliever. My friend, we would plead with you tonight to believe the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the warning that he has given. If you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins, and where I go, you cannot come. Oh, I want to tell you about another death. A death that was different. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to these words. Christ died for our sins. I long that the whole of Bicester could hear those words. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Not just because the scripture said he died, but according to how the scripture said he would die. In other words, 1,000 years before he died, Psalm 22, it declared that he would be crucified before crucifixion was even invented. Listen, they pierced my hands and my feet. And there we bring you tonight to the cross. We love to bring sinners to the cross, because you know there'll never be a person in heaven but will be there because of the cross. You know one thing my mother always taught me? She said, Jonathan, never boast. There's one thing God allows us to boast in. Do you know what it is? It's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? I'll tell you why tonight, because the hymn writer said, the cross of Christ is all my boast. His blood my only plea, my passport to the realms of bliss is Jesus died for me. Oh, those lovely words, Jesus died for me. My friend, would you not be attracted to Jesus tonight, who died for you on the cross, who loved you,
who was nailed to the cross and who hung there. And it wasn't the nails that were keeping him on the cross. It was his love that held him there as he died for sinners, as he died for me. Christ died for our sins. Does that include you or does it not?
I'm thankful it includes me. Boys and girls, Christ died for our sins means Christ died for my sins. Make it personal tonight. Don't be afraid to take your place as a sinner. Because my friend, Christ has all your sins covered on the cross by his death. There's not one that he didn't die for. The hymn says, all my sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God who knew them laid them on him. Unbelieving, I go free. But I want to tell you that that work is not only personal, but that work, it's a payment that is complete. You see, on the cross, he said these words, it is finished. My, I love those words. It's just one word in the original language. You don't need to worry about that. Just understand what the word means. And tonight, what God wants you to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the reason that he will save you is because he finished the work. In other words, God saves you because of an account of what his son did on the cross. He doesn't save you because of your believing. See, I used to get as a child very confused about believing. And I used to think, this believing in the gospel, have I believed enough? And I wondered, was my belief really good? And you see, the day that I got saved, I forgot all about the believing and I got occupied with Christ. And I realized this, it's not the amount of my believing. No, it's who I believe in. And the moment you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. He did the dying and he does the saving and he will do the keeping. Could that be any better news? We've heard of that Twin Towers. Our brother remembers where he was. I remember where I was too. I had the privilege of visiting Ground Zero number of years ago, and one of the names that caught my attention was the name of a fireman. We've had a terrible tragedy in Bicester in recent weeks. Firemen and women lost their lives. Well, his name was Rick Rescorre. He worked in Morgan Stanley Bank. He was the chief security advisor to Morgan Stanley, 3,000 of his staff, and he said to the head of Morgan Stanley, he said, one day these towers are going to be hit by terrorists. We need to move our offices. But they were tied into a long lease and they couldn't move. So Rick Rescorre, he took upon himself with his staff to, every 2 months, he got the staff to do an emergency exit, fire drill. He wasn't popular. You can imagine 3,000 staff, when the bell went, they all had to get out. And then 9/11 came. The first tower was hit. The message came from New York Port Authority. Everybody in the North Tower, stay where they are. Wrong information. Rick Rescorre ordered his 3,000 staff out. And as he went through the front door of that tower with them all out, he turned. He went back in. He texted his wife. He said, I love you. But he says, I think there's still some more who are there. You know, Rick Rescorre's body was never found. But today, 3,000 people owe their lives to his work. Listen tonight. There's millions in the world tonight. And there'll be millions in heaven, yea, billions. And they'll owe their lives and their eternal life to the work of Christ upon the cross. That's how real it is, dear friend. He was there for you and he was there for me. Are you going to accept what he did and enter into eternal life and be saved for time and for eternity? Thank God tonight for a Savior. In loving kindness we sang, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame and grace he lifted me. Remember, will you, tonight the warning from Christ. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Remember the work that was finished by Christ. died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. And this evening in the meeting, if you just trust him. Only trust him, is the hymn. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. When will he save you? He will save you now. Shall we pray? Our Father,